again, I'm talking with Javier Tamargo, CEO of I-77 Mobility Partners, and thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much for coming.
Let's begin with how will this work? What is an HOT lane, and how will that play out in North Mecklenburg County?
Okay, the concept of the HOT, high occupancy toll lanes, or what we like to call them express lanes, is a lane that is managed in relation to the to guarantee a free flow of traffic. We have a set rate that the users will pay that will fluctuate in relation to the demand that the lanes have at that moment. So we can have, you know, the right amount of vehicles on each moment on those lanes, so we guarantee that there will be no congestion on those lanes.
No congestion.
No congestion.
Flexible rates, a set rate, you said, but flexible. So how will that flexibility, the changing of the rates, be determined?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So every 5 minutes, there will be an observation of the conditions in the road, and we will run a mathematical algorithm that will help us to identify if they will be decreasing in speed. So we will need to increase the rates to guarantee the speed.
So the rates could actually be fluctuating every 5 minutes?
Yes, that's correct. The rates at every moment will be announced to the users on the road, so they can make the decision of choose the express lanes or stay in the general purpose lanes. But the value proposition that we bring is that the express lanes will have a free flow speed, so you will have a certainty on time travel.
So it's a supply and demand scenario.
That's correct. That is the principle that will work on this project. There will be moments at the time, especially peak hours, with the rates will be higher, so we'll need to somehow control the number of cars on those lanes to avoid the congestion. There will be some other times that the rates will be significantly lower, so we can attract more customers and have a better use of our infrastructure.
Give me an example of how much drivers are going to pay to travel, say, a 10-mile stretch of these toll lanes.
For a 10-mile stretch, we are considering they could pay something between $1 and $4, probably something around that range. Maybe peak time will be closer to $4. Off peak time will be maybe just $1.
And what about someone who lives in far north Mecklenburg or southern Iredell County? They travel into work in downtown Charlotte, the entire stretch of the toll lanes during morning rush hour. What would they expect to pay?
Well, the way we see this project working is that not every user will use the lanes for the whole length of the trip. We actually consider that, as you say, that 10 mile is a very good example of the average use of these lanes. So that that person will have the option to ride the lanes for one segment, two segments, three segments, for the length that they consider. We all know that there are sections in the road that they are more congested than others. So at each particular segment, they could have the chance to choose where to drive. Additionally to that, not all segments will have the same rate at every moment. There will be, because of the supply and demand, it will be different. So it's very difficult to say how much a person could pay for the whole length of the project.
But in the scenario that I mentioned, if someone did travel all the way in morning rush hour, a ballpark of how much that would cost?
With the rate per mile, it will be in a range of 10, 15 cents to even 40 cents. But that doesn't mean that every mile of the 26 miles of the road will have the same rate. That will depend on the conditions at the time.
And if I hear you correctly, a driver who, whatever their if they had a standard way of using the toll lanes, on Monday morning it might cost more or less than it cost on Wednesday morning.
That could be a fact, yes. That will depend on the conditions of the day, and if there is any special circumstance that produce an increase. But we will try to, as we do in other projects, we'll try to keep rates fairly constant, to say constant, expectable. So we want the customers to know how much they could expect to pay. And there is something special, it may be higher or maybe lower. But to have an average cost that people can make the decision as soon as possible, maybe when they, if they run a little bit late, they know what can expect to get to work at time.
How will these tolls actually be collected?
So they will be all electronic, so there will be no need to stop by any way. So our customers will have two options to pay for the tolls. First one is the easier for them and cheaper will be to get a transponder from the NCTA, the North Carolina Tolling Authority. That it will be like a sticker that you put in the front shield, and that will communicate with the detectors that we'll have in the road, and they will be billed directly through their NCTA. The other option is that if you don't have a transponder, you will have your license plate photograph, and a bill will be sent by mail.
And will the toll rates be the same whether a driver is using a transponder or being charged via their license plate?
There will be an additional fee if you don't use a transponder.
And why is that?
Because the cost of processing the license plates are higher than the processing transponders, and there is also the risk of not finding the license plate not being linked to a valid address and losing.
How much will the difference between those rates be?
That has not been determined yet, but it will be a difference. It's not going to be a lot of money of a difference, but it will be some.
And your company, Mobility Partners, will be making that determination?
In combination with NCTA, yes.
I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here. Mr. Tamargo, some of the concerns and criticisms amongst community members about this Express Lanes project has been along the lines of, why not just widen I-77 with more regular use, free travel lanes? Why not?
Well, the ultimate decision on that is on the state and the legislature to approve this project. But what I can add to the discussion is that this managed lanes, express lane solution provides a long-term solution for the traffic. It provides an option that non-congested lanes that will remain non-congested for a long period of time, for at least for the length of our contract, and after that, if the state continues to manage them in such a way. We all know that when you build general purpose lanes, they normally get congested and back to the initial situation after a few years because people rearrange their travel patterns to use that additional capacity. What we are proposing with this project is a way to encourage people to use the facilities more efficiently. They can travel at different times and they will have lower rates, or if they want to continue traveling at peak times, they will have to face higher rates. But this is their decision, when to travel and which way to go.
The long-term viability or manageability of this approach, the toll lane approach, in essence is because not everybody is willing or able to pay tolls. Is that correct?
Not exactly. I think that it's a decision for everybody on that moment. We have experienced that these lanes are used by people of every economic background. Sometimes you are late for an important appointment, even if you don't have a lot of expendable cash. you need to be there at that time. So maybe paying those $5 is worth it for you to make it. So we don't, and we have experiences from our other projects in Texas and from other projects on the country that this type of projects are used by, for instance, they are the, by every car manufacturer. You know, the bigger percentage of cars on those in these express lanes are Toyotas, Hondas, or Ford, as in any other road in the country. So we don't see this project as trying to make difference in terms of economics on the customers. This is, everybody has their own conditions, and one day it will be more important for me to be on time in a certain place. I have my kids playing sports, and I need to be there, and I don't want to be facing traffic. So I can make that decision, and I think that's the essence of why this project is feasible and it can provide a good service for the community.
Another concern that some local elected officials have expressed is that when you look at projections of highway traffic in the future, and in this area, there's a lot of emphasis on intermodal transportation and even more trucks on the highway than we already have. And the concern that's been expressed is that these trucks will continue to clog the general use free travel lanes increasingly, and that the toll lanes is not a way of addressing that concern.
It's true that the trucks cannot use the toll lanes. That was a condition in the procurement, and I think it's linked to the nature of the federal permitting and environmental permits. So that's very little we can do about that. The situation is that with the managed lanes, everybody will need to find a way to accommodate their travels, and trucks may need to, you know, to see if the conditions in the road are not are congested. The general purpose lanes, maybe they will travel more at night. They will need to find a way on that. What we are providing here is the option for people who wants to avoid that congestion to travel in the managed lanes.
Mr. Tamargo, will there be any future opportunities from this point on for the public to have input as this project is actually built out and as the tolls are set?
Yes, absolutely. We are very eager to engage in a conversation with the public. We are members of the community, and we will continue to be so for 50 more years. And before commencement of construction, we are planning to host open houses and community meetings. Our community representatives have been meeting with communities throughout the corridor for a number of months already, and will continue to do so. And there is also a requirement of host the public meetings prior to set the rates. So that will be many more opportunities for public involvement in the project.
You mentioned the 50-year duration of the contract that Cintra and Mobility Partners has signed with the DOT. A study by the Public Interest Research Group advised state governments around the country to enter into nothing more than a 30-year contract on these kinds of projects because of the vagaries and unknowns going that far out. In your opinion, why is 50 years a good duration?
Yeah, let me explain you. These are contracts that require a very significant amount of funds to be built, and by allowing a longer concession term helps the concessionaire to recuperate their money to pay the loans that are needed for the construction and to recuperate their investment. If those terms will be shorter, that will just mean that the contribution of the public sector, the sector, will need to be higher.
But from a business perspective, from Cintra's point of view, 50 years is a long time. Are you concerned about those unknowns that we can't know about the economy or traffic patterns looking that far down the road?
Yes, we do, obviously, but this is our expertise. We have been doing this type of work for already, let me see, the first toll road project that Sintra and our parent company was involved was open to traffic in 1968. So we have been doing this for a long time. Obviously, to make a projection 50 years down the road is very complicated, but we are somehow betting on the economical development of an area, and we definitely believe in the growth of the Charlotte region.
And what happens at the end of the 50 years?
The facility is handed back to the state. We what we are is the facilities always belong to the state. We are an operator, and we have the right to collect the tolls in the facility. And as well, we have obligations in terms of operation and maintenance of those lanes. So at the end of the term, we have to leave the facility in a certain condition, which is at you know fully repaired and in perfect condition. And there is a technical inspections and a thorough process to demonstrate that, and we as operators change hands, and the state take control of the operation of the road.
So it definitely goes back to the state at that point.
Goes back to the state at that point, and then the state will make the decision that they need to do at that point.
About tolls.
To tolls, to operate themselves, to find a different operator. That's completely up to them.
You mentioned your company's experience in other markets. What would you point to as the biggest success story?
Our biggest success story in terms of toll roads is the 407 ETR project in Toronto, Canada. It is the most successful toll road in the world, so to speak.
And what makes it successful?
It is a second ring road of the greater metropolitan area of Toronto that was open to traffic in the 90s. We have been operating shortly after that. And it is a road that provides a bypass to a very congested existing interstate there and has a spurred economical growth in that area where it was before farmland. Now it's, you know, it's another... It has been created a new development, and a new community has grown through that. So we see that that road as an example of how a toll road provides a way of communication. This is a toll road that also changes rates in times of the day, so it is a speed-free, not congested toll road, and it was also the first toll road to implement electronic tolling, so it has a lot of landmarks in that road, and a fine example how you know a well-managed road will help the growth of an area.
Some of these public-private partnerships around the country in different cities have not fared so well. I believe some have gone bankrupt, essentially. How risky is this Charlotte-Mecklenburg area project for your company?
We believe in this project, and we invest in that heavily. You know that out of the $648 million projected for this project, the company Sintra and its partner Aberdeen is investing $248 million their own equity. So it's a big investment. It has some risk involved with that, obviously. But we believe that we have made good assumptions, and the financial markets have recognized that, and the demand for the debt of this project has been very high. So we feel confident in this project.
So the $640 million is total construction cost?
It's total construction, operation during construction, and yes, and overheads. That's the investment number.
Okay. And the sort of upfront investment is $240 million, and the rest is being borrowed. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. There has been a borrow for $100 million in private activity bonds with no recourse to the issue by the state, but with no recourse to the state. Their only recourse is the revenues of the road, $189 million of a TIFIA loan, which is provided by the federal government, but it's also backed by the revenues, not by the federal government, and there is an additional $94.7 million of NCDOT's money, public contribution to the project.
Based on your experience in other cities and your projections here in the Charlotte area, how profitable could this project be for Cintra and I-77 Mobility Partners? What kind of profits do you project?
Well, we have definitely a return on our investment that has been it's in the order of the 14% in terms of return on equity, and that is normal market for that type of project. There is a risk involved, and as you know, with all this project with the amount of debt, the equity actually is the last part of the piece to be paid out. With every dollar that we collect as tolls, first we need to pay the operation cost, then we need to pay the loans, and then if there is anything remaining, it's for the equity investors. So that's why these projects have a certain level of risk. There is no the risk keeps increasing as you go down that chain. There is normally very little risk for paying regular operations. There is some level of risk for lenders that they analyze, and there is a higher level of risk for investors, and that's our business.
And as I mentioned, there has been a considerable amount of opposition to this project. Is your company prepared if there were to be legal challenges at this point to defend this project in court?
Well, if you allow me, I will not comment on pending litigation. We all know that there is a legal challenge to the project, but I'm going to leave it there.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would like to say that I-77 Mobility Partners, we are members of the community. We have been in the area. We live in the Charlotte and Lake Norman area, our employees, and we like to remain that. This definitely has been a lot of comments about the project, but not all the information has been accurate, and definitely we need to engage the community more and explain them which are some of the misconceptions on this project that has been expressed, and how we can work together so this project is a success. And for us, success means that this project serves their purpose, which is alleviating the traffic conditions in the I-77 and allowing for economic growth in the area.
Do you think that the company could have done a better job up to this point in engaging the public and keeping them informed the different steps along the way and the questions that have been raised?
Everybody can think about in the hindsight, everything is brighter. But you need to understand also that we were focusing in the finalizing the financial close, negotiation for the contract. We were focusing a number of steps. Thing right now is the step is preparing for commencement of construction, and this is when we have planned to engage more deeply in the community to explain them how the construction will be done, what will be the possible impacts in their normal commute, and that's why we have our web page and will continue increase our presence in the media.
And that reminds me of one final question, if I may. Mm-hmm. 77 Mobility Partners and the state DOT signed the final deal, the final financial part of this deal, several days ahead of when the DOT had announced that signing would take place. Why was that?
No, let me correct you in that. What it was announced was the deadline, that was on May 27th, was never, I don't believe that was an announcement of when will be the date. The date was done. We have been working for many months, and as many people know, there has been some delays on push on the deadlines for many different reasons. And the goal was to sign all the documents, you know, as when they were ready. So that was nothing intentional in any way or anything. It's just when everything lined up, that's what everything was close.
Mr. Tamargo, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much, Mark.